Audio on demand from Vision Christian Media.
Now, how would you react if you were attacked? Is it with anger, defensiveness, aggression? Now, gladness might not seem like a natural response, but there is a time for it. Today on Turning Point, Dr. David Jeremiah considers the unique kind of joy that comes from taking a stand for Christ in the midst of persecution. Let's listen now as David introduces the conclusion of his powerful message, Happy Are the Harassed.
Thank you for joining us today. I would imagine that if you were asked, have you ever been persecuted for your faith, you might remember some interchange you had at the water cooler with somebody who poked fun at you for being a Christian. But that's not persecution. We know that. Persecution is when you suffer bodily harm and hurt for your stand for Jesus Christ. Most of us have yet to experience that, although it looks like it might be on the horizon if things keep going the way they are. Nonetheless, Jesus settles the issue. He said, "Blessed are those who are persecuted for my sake." In other words, you can be happy in the midst of being persecuted as a believer. We started our discussion about that yesterday. We'll finish it up today, and I hope you have some paper or some way to take some notes. Maybe you have the study guide and you can write in the margins. These are important principles for us to have in our arsenal so that as these moments come, we know what to do. The Bible is a book to prepare us, and when we study it together in a format that takes us through all of the teaching, we prepare ourselves for whatever it is coming toward us in the future. Well, let's get back to our lesson, and let's continue to discuss what Jesus is teaching us about happiness.
You're not only going to be reviled, but Jesus says you'll be persecuted. The word persecute is from the same root word as the word pursue. And it's the idea of what happened when Paul, before he became Paul, was pursuing the Christians. He was persecuting them, but remember, he was chasing them down. He was finding out where they were, and he was going to go get them and putting them in jail and persecuting them for their faith. How many of you have ever felt like somebody's pursuing you, persecuting you? You know, it's been with us since the beginning of time. Persecution has been a part of everyone who's ever walked with God from day one. Cain slew Abel, and wherefore did he slay him? Because his own works were evil, and his brothers were righteous. Joseph was a good and godly young man, thrown into a pit by his brothers because they were jealous over his standing with his father. All throughout history, go through the list of people who made an impact in history, and you'll find that all of them, somewhere along the way, paid a price for their godliness and righteousness and for their living for God. Persecution. Not only will you be reviled and persecuted, but the scripture says, and this one we understand, don't we? They will say all manner of evil things against you falsely. Notice how Jesus put that. Who say all kinds of evil against you falsely for my sake. This is a very interesting expression that talks about the creativity that people use in criticizing and vilifying and reviling you. It says they don't just say the things that would be normal to say, they say all manner of things. They actually spend time creating new ways. They spend their creative juices trying to figure out a way to put you down. Have you ever sensed that? But you know what? If you've been on the other side of it, you know that's what they do. When people get off and revile and persecute and say all manner of evil things against you. Now, having said all that, that's the bad news. That's going to happen. And let me remind you again what the Bible says. If you live godly in Christ Jesus, you're going to get some flack. You're going to suffer persecution. You're going to have people not always thinking you are the citizen of the year. And I want to stop for a moment before I go on to tell you the good news and let you know that my heart is really identified with the young people in our church who face that every single day on the secular campuses. We got a lot of our kids who want to live for Christ on the secular campus. We got a lot of college students who are on the secular campus trying to live for Christ. And if you're not like everybody else, you're not always going to be the most popular person on campus. And they may not always want to elect you to office. or they may not invite you to the important things that happen. But I want you to know, if you stand for Jesus Christ and you live godly and you're not trying to be obnoxious about your faith, but you're just being who you are in Christ, what I'm going to say right now is especially for you. God will honor that and He will bless you for it. In fact, Jesus said, "Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake and for my sake." Make sure now it's for the right reasons. But listen, here are the things that happen. Blessing number one, persecution is a compliment. Do you know that? It really is. Persecution is a compliment. Persecution shows that we take somebody so seriously that we consider the fact that he must be eliminated. No one ever persecutes a person who is futile and ineffective and indecisive. Persecution only comes to the man whose life is so positive and so real and so effective that he is regarded by those who see him as some sort of a danger or a threat or a sense of condemnation. George Bernard Shaw said that the most wonderful compliment the world can ever pay to an author is to burn his books. Persecution is always a proof of the utter genuineness and sincerity of the faith of the man who is persecuted. Let me just say something to you, friend. Somebody who's just out there serving his time, somebody who's out there compromising, somebody who's out there facing both ways, two-faced and hypocritical and uncommitted, will never be persecuted. But if you're getting some heat on the campus at your college, or if they're on your case at the school where you attend, or if they're bad-mouthing you in the office where you work, I got to tell you something, that's one of the greatest compliments, because you must be doing something right. You must be living godly in Christ Jesus. I remember watching a movie some years ago about a football player who was sitting down at the end of the bench, and he wasn't very good, at least when he came up for the team. And the coach started to get on his case, just get on him every day. When he came to practice, he was always in trouble. One day he complained about it, and the coach said something to him like this. He said, "Son, you got nothing to complain about. The guy who should be complaining is the guy that I'm never talking to. Because I talk to you, and I'm on you because I want you to be better." It's a compliment that I spend so much time trying to encourage you to get better. It's the guys who are sitting over there that I never talk to. Those are the guys who are in real trouble. And some of you are Christians. Well, I'm talking a foreign language to you today. You've never had anybody say a bad word about you. You just sort of fit right in. That's not a compliment. I'm not telling you should go out and try to be as obnoxious as you can. And I know a lot of Christians that think that's the way to do it, but that's not it. I'm talking about just being who you are in Jesus Christ, living your life every day to the honor and glory of Jesus Christ. If you do that, somebody's going to show up and not be happy about your presence. I just want you to know it's a compliment. It's a compliment. Secondly, not only is it a compliment, it's a credential. It really is. Did you hear what Jesus said? He said, if you do this and you get this kind of treatment, just remember, the prophets got it before you came along, and I got it after they did, and everybody who ever lives for Christ is going to be like this. It is like wearing your badge. It identifies you with those who are righteous. Matthew 10:22 says, "You shall be hated of all men for my name's sake." Christ, in a sense, you see, is a king who is in exile. And if we are his followers, we are often looked upon with derision because we are identified with him. But Paul said, "I reckon that the sufferings of this age are not worthy to be compared with the glory that shall be revealed in us." Jesus, in John chapter 15, reminds us that if we're going to be identified with him, we're going to get the same treatment he got in some way. "If they hated me," he said, "and you identify with me, they're going to hate you." And you know what? At the end of his life, Paul prayed that he might be consumed by the fellowship of sufferings in Christ. He wanted to be identified. It's not only a compliment, it's a credential. And thirdly, not only a compliment and a credential, it is a catalyst. Do you know what the Bible says about suffering and about persecution? It is the only way you can get some qualities in your life. There are some things you cannot develop as a believer apart from stress and difficulty and persecution. There's a time-worn story about this fellow who went to his pastor and wanted his pastor to pray with him because he didn't have any patience. And he said, "Pastor, I'm just the most impatient thing around the house and around. Would you pray with me about patience?" About 2 weeks later, he came back and he said, "Good night, man." He said, "What did you pray?" He said, "My life's coming unglued." He said, "Well, I just went to the Word of God for the formula. It says tribulation works patience, so I prayed for tribulation. God must be answering my prayer." You know, that's kind of a silly little thing, but it's true, isn't it? The most important lessons I've ever learned in my life, I've learned under the pressure of difficulty. In the midst of suffering and pressure and tribulation and things that I never would have ordered if I had gotten the menu in front of me. Those important lessons I would never have learned. The best lessons in life I've learned in the most difficult situations. And God says in His Word that tribulation does work patience, and patience hope, and hope makes us not ashamed. So when you're under persecution, one of the reasons you should rejoice is God's up to something in your life. He's doing a work. He's processing you for heaven. He's getting you grown up. It's the same kind of situation as pain is to a child when he's first starting to grow. There isn't any gain without the pain. There isn't any growth without the stress. The common modern interpretation of the Christian faith, men and women, is so benign as to make me sick. You listen to it on the radio, you hear it on television. The Christian life is one grand sailing on into the harbor of heaven with no ill winds. But that's not what the Bible says. The Bible doesn't talk about us having it easy all the way to heaven. The Bible calls us soldiers. The Bible says we're in a fight. We're wrestling against the enemy. And preachers and teachers and would-be saviors who stand up in front of us and try to give us the idea that the Christian life is all peaches and cream are not doing us any favors. Because that's not the way it is. Can I get a witness? Amen. You know that, don't you? You know that the life that God has called us to live is not always easy. But here's the good news. When you're under pressure, He's up to something. Don't ask Him why. Ask Him what. What do you want me to learn under this situation? So you're getting beat up at work. It's not fun, and I know that it's not something you come home and want to talk about, even to your wife. Ask yourself this question. What is God up to in my life? What am I supposed to learn out of this? It's a catalyst. And finally, number four, it's criteria. Listen to what Jesus said and what the Bible says. Jesus says, "Blessed are they who suffer persecution, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." Your reward is in heaven. Your kingdom is in heaven. You got something waiting for you in the future. Paul said in Romans 8:17, if we suffer with Him, watch this, what's the rest of it? We shall also be glorified with Him. And in 2 Corinthians 1:7, we're told to be partakers of suffering is to be partakers of the consolation. In 2 Timothy 2:12, we're told if we suffer with Him, we will reign with Him. So persecution is a criterion. It's a condition. It's something that you have to have in order to get from here to there. No, you don't have to be persecuted to go to heaven, but the Bible says that persecution and dealing with persecution has a say in how you reign with Christ in the time of the kingdom. If you want a good illustration of that, read the book of Revelation and notice how wonderfully, tender, and carefully our God in heaven cares for the martyrs. How He loved the martyrs and how He dealt with them, and what a wonderful place of prominence they have in God's kingdom. See, we want the product without the process, don't we? We'd like to be godly and not have any problems in the process, but there isn't any way for that to happen. Godliness and righteousness comes through the process of the cauldron of God's pressure cooker. And oftentimes the result of that is not only here in this life, but the promise of the life to come. Now let me ask you a question. How are we supposed to deal with this? Have you ever been around people that enjoy their persecution? I have. No, you're not supposed to walk around with a long face telling everybody you meet how tough it is. What does the scripture say? It says, rejoice and be exceeding glad. You know that when you have taken some heat for God, that in the very center of taking heat, of being put under pressure, there is a kind of joy that comes to your heart that nobody would ever understand if they've not been there. That's true. You can't know that if you've never experienced. And, you know, I have to honestly tell you, I'm the pastor of a church and live in the Christian community. I don't get persecuted a lot. I get nasty letters once in a while, but that's it. I don't feel like I'm persecuted. But I remember an experience that I had when I was a pastor in Fort Wayne, Indiana, years and years ago, where I felt that special joy for just a moment that I'm talking about. I used to be the pastor of a church in Fort Wayne, Indiana, that for some reason was in the political milieu. Every time there was a political dinner, I got asked to go. I always prayed it. I prayed for the Democrats and I prayed for the Republicans. And I'm not going to tell you which ones I prayed harder for, but I prayed for both of them. And on this one occasion, I was asked to go to a Democratic dinner, and it was in a big restaurant. Don and I will remember this. It was in a big restaurant in Fort Wayne, and the guest of honor that night was Walter Mondale. And I sat right next to him. I have a picture of me and Walter Mondale. It's in a box somewhere. I don't hang it up much anymore. Anyway, I was asked to pray. And I prayed. I prayed like I usually do. I got up and thanked God for the occasion, asked God to bless the event, thanked Him for the country in which we lived, and prayed in Jesus' name, amen. And we sat down to eat. It was the prayer before the dinner. And out of the back of the auditorium came this girl, man, and she was on a beeline. I thought she was coming to get Mondale's autograph, but she was coming after me. And she came, and I'm sitting right here, and she came, and she stood right between us, and she got right in my face. She said, I've never been so offended in all my life. I cannot imagine anybody so ignorant as to come to a meeting like this and pray in front of an obviously ecumenical group in the name of Jesus Christ. I am totally offended. And I just wanted to come right up here and tell you that all my friends back here, we are offended that you did that. I wanted to tell you right to your face. Well, I saw Mondale sitting over here kind of looking at me, and I'm thinking, oh, brother. And in that moment, the Lord gave me the word, and I said, young lady, Jesus Christ is the most important person in my life. I cannot imagine ever trying to talk to God without mentioning Him. And you wouldn't expect me to change my prayer on the basis of where I prayed it, would you? I could never do that. I love the Lord Jesus Christ with all my heart, and I always pray in His name. And she went, like that, and she turned around and went back to her table. Well, I got a chance to do a little witnessing to Walter Mondale over here through that. I was kind of glad for that. But in that moment, and I'm not all any braver than the rest of you, in that moment, I just had this kind of real joy down in my heart that God had helped me to say the right thing in a very difficult circumstance. And you know what? She went back, and I don't think her friends, I told Don, I don't think they're eating. They had their heads all huddled in the middle of the table. I think they had me for dinner. I think that's what they had. But that's all right. That's okay. Do you know what it's like to bear the reproach of Christ for just a moment and find joy and gladness in your heart? That's what Jesus is talking about. Blessed, happy are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for my sake. Be rejoicing. Be exceedingly glad. Thank God, as the disciples did, that they were counted worthy to suffer in the name of Christ. Paul and Silas got beaten up, thrown in jail, and were so upset about it, they spent all night singing praises to God. Chrysostom was a great church father who was persecuted. He was summoned before the Roman Emperor Arcadius. They told him they were going to banish him if he didn't quit proclaiming Jesus. He said, if you want to banish me, go for it. My world is my Father's house. Well, then I'll slay you said the Roman emperor. Now, you can't slay me. My life is hid with Christ and God. Well, then your treasures will be confiscated. Ah, he said, my treasures are in heaven where none can break through and steal. Well, I'll drive you from man and you'll have no friends left. He said, nah. He said, I have a friend in heaven who's told me he's not ever going to leave me nor forsake me. Arcadius said, what do you do with a man like that? What do you do with a Christian like that who understands that even in what most people think are negative, God has given to us his special blessing? Blessed are they who are persecuted, for they shall have the kingdom of heaven and rejoicing and gladness in their heart. Shall we pray? Father, I want to thank you for your precious word. I want to thank you for the privilege of teaching it and sharing it. I want to thank you that we know your words are true, and we know that they are borne out not only in the scripture, but in the lives of everyone who has obeyed the scripture. I pray for our high school students. Lord, I pray not only for those who are in secular environments, but even for those who are in our Christian schools, for there's a subtle kind of persecution that comes even to the Christian school environment. I pray for executives and salespeople and men and women who work in all manners of environments here in this community who are trying to live godly for Christ Jesus and are being ridiculed and reviled. Give them courage, and Lord, help them to find that joy that is at the heart of being God's person in the midst of pressure. Help them to rejoice and be exceeding glad, remembering that they're in a long train of those who have felt the same kind of ridicule. And Lord, give us courage. That's what we need. We're not any of us courageous by nature. It would be so easy for us to cave in to the pressure and just become one of the crowd. Lord, give us the guts to stand up for what we believe and the joy that comes with it when we do. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Well, thank you so much for joining us today. And as you know, we're almost finished with the Beatitudes. We've been studying them throughout the month of August, and you've been with us, and I'm very grateful for that. We'll see you here tomorrow. Thanks for listening.
The message you just heard came from Shadow Mountain Community Church and Dr. David Jeremiah, the senior pastor. Is God touching your life through Turning Point? Write us about it at Turning Point, Post Office Box 3838, San Diego, California, 92163. Or visit our website at davidjeremiah.org/radio. Ask for your copy of David's new Bible study, John, The Divinity of Christ. It's part of the Jeremiah Bible Study Series, and it's yours for a gift of any amount. You can also purchase the Jeremiah Study Bible in the New English Standard and New International versions, and in standard or large print in the New King James, in your choice of several attractive cover options. Visit davidjeremiah.org/radio for details. I'm Gary Hoogfleet. Join us tomorrow as we continue How to Be Happy According to Jesus. That's here on Turning Point with Dr. David Jeremiah.
Taking time to listen to this audio on demand from Vision Christian Media. To find out more about us, go to vision.org.au.